Chicago. This is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by a panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by Bruno Barron, Jeannie Ives, Roberto Montano, and Chris Baronis. Our program tonight coming to you from our home base at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8029. That's 1-800-723-8029. If you'd like to email me a comment, it's brucedumont@museum.tv. If you want to tweet me a comment, it's @Dumo, @DUMO. And, of course, you can join us on the World Wide Web, audio and video, each and every week at beyondthebeltway.com. And if you miss the show on Sunday night, it's there all the time. Happy Father's Day to fathers listening around the country. Again, as is always the case on this program, we have a full docket of things to discuss in the next 2 hours. I do want to begin with sort of the breaking news of the day at the moment, and that is that the United States has shot down a Syrian Air Force fighter, which I want to get reaction. We've got a couple of military experts or veterans with us this evening. Jeannie Ives, you're a U.S. Army captain, you know, graduate of West Point. Your reaction to this shoot down of a Syrian jet, and also, are you worried that it might lead to some escalation of similar matters?
No, I'm not worried at all about it escalating to other matters. In fact, they, according to the news report, they actually contacted the Russian counterparts to for a de-escalation as part of their maneuver here. But this is exactly what our military is capable of doing. And when we're engaged in war fighting, then we need to use all our assets to disrupt the enemy and certainly to own the skies. And this is how you do it.
Roberto Montano also joins us. He's a Democrat, also a U.S. Army veteran, staff sergeant. Your reaction to the action by the government today or the military today?
I just want to echo the captain. You know, we own the sky. It belongs to us. It's our troops on the ground. Our allies, our special operators are embedded right now, American warfighters, and you just can't come at us. And if you do, we will push you back. And we didn't shoot a Russian. We shot a Russian vehicle that was aggressing on us. We told the Russians it's a courtesy, but that's our sky now. We own Raqqa. We own Mosul. We're going to end this war, and that just requires us to control the sky.
Bruno Barron joins us, a libertarian. Your reaction, Bruno?
I don't have as many details as others have had in terms of what the details are, but this is the kind of stuff that happens when you have a lot of material and a lot of different sides fighting a multi-front war against multiple different people shooting at each other. And it would seem to me that the United States does what it usually does, which is in air superiority. So I bow to my friends here who have a greater knowledge of military matters.
Chris Baronis, your reaction.
I mean, I don't disagree that we've got the world's strongest military. It's flexing muscles is important. It sends a message. But at the same time, if it was just as easy to shoot planes out of the sky, this conflict would have been over in 2011. And I'm a little concerned about the quagmire potential, especially when you have a powder keg over in North Korea. So I'm not saying, go easy on defending our interests, but I'm just saying one thing leads to another very, very quickly.
I want to switch gears and also mention to the audience that, I mean, we are going to be talking about the shooting at the baseball practice this past week and the reaction to Congress to that. We're going to be talking about the charges back and forth between Donald Trump as to whether or not he wants to fire Bob Mueller. We will discuss all those subjects as the program unfolds this evening. They really dominated virtually all of the Sunday shows. But something that was not mentioned on any of the Sunday shows, which we're going to have maybe the luxury to talk about for several minutes or maybe even a half an hour on this program, and that is the leak that was associated with Reality Winner. Last week on this program, we had all of our guests, all sides agreed that the prosecution of Reality Winner, the intelligence contractor who's been charged by the federal government for leaking valuable information, that everybody agreed that she should have been charged. But what was lost and has been revealed this week is exactly the type of thing or part of the thing that she was charged with leaking. And that now is now part of the public discussion. And I want to discuss that because ever since the election, when Democrats have questioned the legitimacy of Donald Trump, They have pointed primarily to the fact of the leaking of information, what role the Soviets or Julian Assange had in leaking information derogatory to Hillary Clinton, and whether or not that derogatory information led to the vote totals that turned out that made Donald Trump president of the United States. What all sides basically have said, however, is there's been no evidence that any votes actually changed hands. In fact, there's been testimony to that effect. But the new information that came out as a result of this leak, let me just share some of it with you, because there hasn't been much news media coverage of it. It certainly hasn't caught the attention of the 24-hour news cycle. According to what was leaked is that sophisticated targeting of state voting officials responsible for voting rolls and voting procedures around the United States, that was a method used. There was an attempt really to compromise those officials. And by doing so, they were impersonating election software vendor, and they were trying to trick emails into more than 100 election officials around the United States. Obviously, we've heard that this allegedly was going to only help Donald Trump. But part of this attack that has been tied to the Russians is that there was this ongoing effort really to disrupt election officials. And you may recall, if your memory is good, at one point in the campaign, there was a story that ran for about a day or two that said there were attempts to compromise some election. There was some skullduggery going on. One of the states was in the state of Illinois. There wasn't much follow-up to that. But it seems to me that this story here brings into focus and maybe to greater public discussion, and that is whether or not there really were votes that changed and that the voting procedure was going to be compromised in some way. There was also a story, as I recall, during that period of time, and this was primarily those who were supporters of, you know, right-of-center political causes. They were suggesting that George Soros, because he was an investor in one of the major voting machine companies, that somehow the votes could be tainted. We can also remember that during the campaign, Donald Trump spent a considerable amount of time talking about the veracity of the campaign, whether or not it was going to be legitimate or not, or they're trying to steal it from me. So I put all these subjects out here because they remind us of conversations we've had throughout this campaign. But I'm wondering, and I'm going to start with you, Bruno, does this new news, which came as a result of this leak, does this, in your mind, warrant a hardcore focus on this aspect of whether Russians were meddling? Because if they were, we're going well beyond just trying to change votes as a result of leaking emails. We're talking about a very dedicated campaign, and maybe as Americans, we should be upset about it, as the Democrats have said we should since Election Day.
First of all, I think everybody in the country...
By the way, I asked a very long question going to the break right now. Everybody's got 3 minutes to give the answer. I want to get your reaction as well to this relatively new news. Again, you're not hearing it on any of the other shows, but I think we have an opportunity tonight to have some good hardball discussions about whether or not maybe this is part of the smoking gun that some people are looking for. I'm Bruce Dumont, back shortly from Chicago.
Historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school. Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. And again, we're kind of following up on the very long question that I was asking, or a premise that I was setting up. And Bruno, I want to give a chance to respond to it. And the question is, the information that's been leaked by Reality Winter, it is information that suggests that there may have been some success in trying to compromise election rolls and election officials in advance of the campaign. And there hasn't been a lot of talk about that because all the focus is on everybody thinks it was just the emails. Maybe it was, but it seems to me that there's another thread we could pull apart here.
Well, despite the fact that I'm a conservative libertarian who leans right on most every issue, the day that – I mean, I was watching election night, and everybody in the world thought Hillary was going to win. Maybe not everybody, but many people. And then a few people were saying, no, Trump is going to pull this out. And then lo and behold, Trump pulls this out. So anybody who's been following this, especially if you're on the left side of the aisle, but even people on the right side of the aisle, it is completely normal to wonder. It's like, well, could something have been hacked? And we're told by our election officials that nothing can be hacked. There's no such thing as fraud. Nothing bad has ever happened. There is no election fraud. And this is what I think. I think that an investigation into every aspect of American elections is warranted for the benefit of both sides. Every single vote that is stolen takes away a vote from somebody who is legitimate. And I have always been a big critic of electronic voting machines. I think they are invitations to fraud, and this story from either side of the aisle proves it. I am also against the massive expansion of early voting and absentee voting. I think every single one of those Pew Research says that's where most of the fraud, where there is fraud, occurs. So to the extent there is a danger of election fraud, to the extent that you can steal 10,000 votes in Pennsylvania and 20 or 30,000 votes in Wisconsin and Michigan and flip an election, it's in all of our interests to find out whether or not that's possible.
Chris Veronis. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And sadly, tragically, what Bruno's talking about is getting sucked up in the undertow. This is just not getting enough daylight. And and I'll say something else and to earn my seat here, Bruce. I'd like to see a little moral outrage from the president that our democratic process was tampered with. You don't hear anything coming out of the White House because he interprets every single criticism as an attack on his own legitimacy. I would like to see someone stand up and say, if you mess with our democratic process, it doesn't matter who the political party is, there will be consequences. We're not getting that.
I want to get Jeannie and Roberta's response, but I do want to add one thing, and this is quoting a Matt Blaze. He is a University of Pennsylvania computer science professor who's mentioned, and this is a Reuters story that I'm referencing here. And it's, quote, "If your goal is to disrupt an election, you don't need to pick the winner or actually tamper with the tally results. Simply casting doubt on the legitimacy of the results could achieve the goals of a government-sponsored hacking campaign." That was the end of the quote. The point that I said during the break is this seems to me, if you follow this logically, and again, right now, since the election, we're following it because Donald Trump was the winner. This seems to be a campaign that was first and foremost set up maybe to challenge the legitimacy of Hillary Clinton had she won. Roberto.
If you read the paper, he references bots being extra active in Wisconsin, Florida, and Pennsylvania. He doesn't talk about actual tampering of boxes because he determined that those did not happen.
Right.
Now, of course, we were it was Arizona, I believe, as well. So they went for a blue state, they went for a red state. The issue to remember to help our president be motivated maybe is that Putin is not a Republican. And if they can do it to one side, they'll do it to the other side. My opinion is that Illinois has enough safeguards. I've worked on plenty of elections. I've seen the paper ballots. I'm not sure that I would respectfully disagree with Bruno about the early voter, because I don't think that's about the hacking so much. You can talk about, you know, maybe people being voted the wrong way, but souls to the polls, people doing buses from churches. That's a different issue. What we're talking about today is cybersecurity of our national treasure, the most important thing that we have to defend. And I agree completely with Chris that we should be outraged. If we lose this, the game is over.
JD.
Well, and there's no doubt elections are the number one thing that you keep a democracy in check with. If you don't have valid elections, you do not have a valid government, and especially in the United States. So I welcome a full investigation into our voting processes and how we do this. I would have to disagree with you. I mean, Illinois was obviously targeted for malfeasance in the voting area. It was one of two states, and that's because I think we have a soft underbelly there. I think that we have a very hands-off sort of attorney general, quite frankly, who's not willing to prosecute these types of things. I think we have very lax election laws in this state, and I think that they thought it was an easy way to get in. Now, did it happen in Illinois? It absolutely didn't. None of that happened. However, our laws would allow that.
Could you elaborate? Because, again, for those listening around the country, you are a state representative.
Yes, I am.
Do you, in this specific case, do you know of any of the specifics involved with what allegedly they were trying to do in Illinois? Because you just said it didn't happen. Are you absolutely positively sure about that?
Well, it was checked into, and we're pretty – I mean, from what I've heard officially, we understand that there was nothing happened. There were attempts made to come in. But fortunately,
Nor would it have been suspect because Illinois is a very blue state, and it went blue. I mean, where this maybe has some validity – again, if there was a specific focus on investigating this, we don't know whether or not that's happening or not, because we're spending probably more time on this program tonight talking about this specific subject than the big media has spent. You know, they're always focusing on the emails and this and that and Donald Trump and who said what to who, who's a liar and who's nuts and all this other
stuff.
We'll
be hearing on Tuesday in Washington on this issue, on the tampering. So finally,
good.
People are waking up to it.
Well, so I guess back to reality winner. What has she done or not done by divulging this information, right? Is this a public service? Because now we understand what she was actually getting at or what she was going to say about it, that it was dealt with elections and that we thought maybe we think officials would cover up this type of thing and just handle it internally. But I don't find that a credible defense for her at all. She's not... a WikiLeaks. She's not to divulge this. She needs to be shut down. All these leaks need to be shut down. This is classified information. And if you don't punish it with people like her, then you're just going to continue this leakage. And that's not the way that we should do. Be transparent. That's not the goal in transparency. Her way of transparency is not our.
I want to pick up on Bruno's point because I feel the exact same way. I mean, you go back to the old paper ballots. Everybody says, "Oh, you know, forget. You can't go back to that." I guess a question I would ask is that because I think there's a lot of people. Maybe they are more closely associated with my generation than 20-somethings, who don't seem to be as concerned about privacy as I might be. But it seems to me that going back to the old paper ballot.
But we have paper ballots.
Some way to do it.
We also have electronic voting machines, and every election
most
cycle.
Places.
Every election cycle, you see some story about an electronic voting machine. Every vote in the precinct was Democrat, or every vote in the precinct was Republican, or something. And
but there's a paper ballot if that's the case.
Well, no, but there's not a paper ballot attached to the. There is not a paper ballot attached to every electronic ballot. This is my simple request of the voting system, and maybe you're right that we can do something about early and absentee voting, that we can secure the proper vote. I've read a lot about this, and I've debated this a lot, because you get on Facebook and you talk to friends, and the Democrats are essentially saying there's no such thing as vote fraud unless, of course, their candidate loses all the time, and the Republicans probably overstate vote fraud because they have a more difficult, and I've said this before, this is my quip on it. It's like, if the Republicans are the party of voter suppression, the Democrats are the party of voter fraud. They don't want – when somebody is against cleaning voter rolls of people who aren't really registered, you have to ask yourself why. So I just want more integrity in the system, and my view is that an electronic ballot with nothing but a chip or a piece of software or something inside some machine is a complete black box
that
no one has control over.
The Sequoia systems that we use in Illinois have a paper ballot, every single one. And the voter suppression thing is, I'm not saying that that's happening in Illinois, but that's mostly about accessing. We want more people at the ballots. That's all that is. We just want more people. I mean, more people at the polls. That's all.
And I want people who should be at the polls to vote.
I want only citizens to vote. That's what I want.
The only voter fraud that I've heard of in the last presidential cycle was two or three people that voted for Trump that weren't supposed to, and they voted twice is all. It's not that they weren't citizens.
I'm not going to debate every issue right here. I think the idea that they've said millions of, and this was Pew Research. This is not any right wing outfit, but this is Pew Research saying that if their extrapolation from Virginia, which is I think the state that they worked in, something like 500,000 or a million or something of voters on the rolls who no longer exist, who shouldn't be there. That right there is a massive opportunity for fraud for either side.
Is there a way? In the next election, is there a way for a bipartisan commission to review and put in place more secure systems of registration and voting?
Well, let me tell you one thing. So Illinois just passed an automatic voter registration law. It's brand new. We passed this law, and part of that is if you file electronically, it goes to the Secretary of State's office, which now has to do a real ID check, which means they are verifying citizenship. So then you get a better idea that it really is a citizen if you take it through that process. However, federal law requires you to also still offer a paper registration. So it's not pure, but if they're doing it electronically, it's a better system now.
Menopause, 1-800-723-8200. When we come back, I want to see if there's any reaction from the public, and also we're going to talk about some other contemporary issues in Washington. Don't go away.
Looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Bruce Dubon back, and happy Father's Day. And as you've heard me say, we do this program from the Museum of Broadcast Communications. And as you see around the table, if you're watching us on TV, we have our brand new mugs. And you can get a mug if you join the museum. It's $30. It's an individual membership. $30. All you have to do is go to museum.tv to support the museum. It's 20 ounces, and it's just like the big kids do on Beyond the Beltway. That's exactly how you do it. Also, by the way, speaking of the museum, this coming Wednesday night, the first and third Wednesdays of every night, or every week rather, every month, we're going to be open late until 8 o'clock at night. And again, starting at 5:30 p.m. this coming Wednesday, we're going to take a look at all the superheroes on TV, Wonder Woman and Batman and Superman. And again, a discussion of that with some authors that have written books on the subject. Nice. And again, open till 8 o'clock at night, and it's only $6. If you come on Wednesdays after 5:30, it's only $6 to come in to the museum. So thank you very much. And by the way, also I want to just say it is Father's Day. It also is my birthday. So to all the people, a lot of people out there, thank you very much for sending me Facebook and all kinds of comments today wishing me a happy birthday. And yes, when I was born a long, long time ago in 1944, I'll let you figure out the math, I was born on Father's Day.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, so I was the gift. Anyway,
Sunday boy.
Let's go to Kurt listening to us in Austin, Texas on KLBJ. Go ahead.
So I live in Texas, but my family's from Illinois.
Okay.
And on Election Day, my sister went to vote. She's voted in every election since like 2000.
Mm-hmm. God bless.
And she had registered. And when she went to the court, she went to her polling place, and they told her that she was not registered, even though she believed that she had. So she had to go to the courthouse of our county, which happened to be in the same town that she lived in, so she was lucky there, and re-register to vote before she could actually go and place her vote. And it took a couple of hours. You know, I could see if you lived in another city that was not, you know, outside of the city and didn't have access to the courthouse, you could easily give up and not bother, like, traveling, you know, half an hour to an hour to go register at the courthouse.
Jeannie. Mm-hmm. Got a comment?
Well, thanks very much for that question, because you must live in one of the disparate counties in the state of Illinois where the Democrats passed a provisional ballot initiative where certain counties where you were allowed to vote in precinct on voting day, if you for some reason weren't registered or like your sister, they couldn't find the proper registration. Other counties in the state of Illinois, you had to actually go to the county seat to cast that ballot instead. And that's actually, there's a disparate impact there. And there was a court case, and I think it's still winding its way through the system over this, because those parts of Illinois that are largely Republican are the ones where you had to actually travel to the county and stand in line there versus being able to do it in precinct. So it was a Democrat initiative to do it this way, and it is being challenged. But otherwise, in the state of Illinois, you should be able to, if you're not registered, vote in person in your precinct in a provisional ballot.
Kirk, listen, thank you very much. We're going to move on from this subject. I just kind of want to summarize it, though, which is why I thought it was important, because there has been so much said about whether there's been collusion. According to the investigators, including James Comey and the FBI, and Dianne Feinstein, there has been no collusion shown yet between Donald Trump and the Russians. It hasn't happened at all. Donald Trump has been on the defensive ever since. I think the purpose of a discussion here this evening about this other possibility, I think it speaks to the point of maybe what the real goal of the Russians was, and that was to create chaos. Whether Hillary Clinton won the election or Donald Trump won the election. And so it's all mixed in there. I'm just saying, as Chris said, there hasn't been the exposure and the discussion of this possibility, at least in the general public, that I think probably it warrants. And I realize there are some people who are who are listening to this discussion this evening, and maybe they are blaming me to sowing discontent or sowing the possibility that there was some skullduggery done in this campaign just by discussing it. And again, if you feel that way, I'm sorry, but I think we have to have a broad discussion of there's a lot more about this election that we don't know yet.
100%.
And all of the focus has been on whether or not there's connection between Donald Trump and his associates and the Russians. And again, the investigators looking into it thus far have found nothing. Maybe there's some other places that the investigators should be looking. Speaking of that, let me ask, I'm going to start with my Republicans, and I have varying degrees of Republicans here this evening. It has been, and one bona fide Democrat. Jeannie, I'm going to start with you. Do you believe that there's any positive thing that could come out of the president firing Robert Mueller?
Well, you would have to, the only way that could happen that would be positive is if there was proof that he was overstepping the boundaries of his investigation. And Trump's supporters, I would say, are largely behind the president. And when he says that there's a witch hunt, Trump supporters believe that because they see it every day in the media. And they see many of his initiatives getting passed over. Some of the stuff that he's done already in the energy sector, nobody's talking about that. It does feel like a witch hunt if you're a Republican. And even if you're a Republican where he was your 17 out of your 17th choice, and essentially you had a choice between one or the other, that's what it came down to, and you certainly didn't want Hillary Clinton sit in that seat. I will tell you that Trump supporters feel like he is being vilified now and not given a fair and even chance. So his supporters, if he were to fire Mueller for reasons because he has overstepped his boundaries of the investigation.
And has the ability to do it.
And he does have the ability to do that. And the case can be made. I think that they would be okay with that.
Chris Voronis, I want to get your reaction. Let me put a finer point on it. If he fired Robert Mueller, I would argue that the people that will be upset are the same people that are upset with him now, and the people that we either will support it or don't care are his Trump supporters.
I think there's a certain side of Donald Trump with the loose screw that just might entertain this idea. I think so. Deep down inside, the guy loves the fight, but it's an endless fight, a fight that just produces another fight. If he were to do that, I think that would create such a political backlash that no Republicans or very few Republicans would stand with him. It would create incredible political energy behind the Democrats, and it would shrink his base of support. Quite honestly, there's no basis. There's no basis to fire the special counsel
Let me call your attention, and we don't have a clip here, but again, you can go to this week on ABC because Newt Gingrich was a guest there today. Newt Gingrich thinks that the president should fire Mueller. He thinks that there's a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. The people that he's hired are all, in his view, you know, somewhat in the tank for the Democrats. It's not a balanced playing field. And that Comey, who is part of this investigation, is one of his best friends, that this doesn't smell good. Yeah. And I'm just saying this to make a case. Newt made the case today. I don't know if you saw it, Bruno, but what do you think of what would happen if the president did that?
Real quickly, I heard Newt a week ago, and he brought this up. And I've since read numerous articles. I actually think Robert Mueller is conflicted. I don't think he can. I'm the one person who is very conservative and libertarian and whatever who couldn't bring myself to vote for Donald Trump because I just don't like him that much, and I still don't, even though I can defend one or two of his policies. But so I have no skin in the game. I actually think the best thing that could happen to America right now is that the whole distraction goes away. We end up with President Pence, and the Republicans actually start passing some good legislation.
Oh, gosh.
So that's my viewpoint. But even that said, I don't think Donald Trump, who was at least at this point duly elected properly in the United States of America, can get a fair shake from Mueller. I actually think he is conflicted.
But why?
Right. I agree.
Why is he conflicted?
Because
he's,
agree.
Well, again, I don't have to go on all the details. I'll try and answer it as we go on in this conversation. I will say this, however. I do agree with Chris that there isn't enough there to get rid of this guy, at least for Trump to get rid of this guy. And the one thing
Roberta, we've not heard from him for several minutes.
I dare President Donald Trump to fire Mueller right now. Because if he does that,
members of the House,
a Marine Corps war hero, Vietnam, so good at his job that the Congress voted unanimously, I think, to extend his term from 10 to until we found another one,
12. Mm-hmm.
To 12. And like Newt himself, talk about hypocrisy, praises him on day one. This is the Eagle Scout of the Eagle Scouts. So to question
him. Wait a minute. Do you see something mm-hmm. at least somewhat dicey that, first of all, James Comey is one of his best friends. They used to work very closely with each other.
James Comey
a thorough investigation should be looking into the role of James Comey. And all, don't you see that there's at least some? I'm not even getting into the chapter and verse that Newt got in. I mean, Newt laid out the bill of particulars today about the backgrounds of the first four people hired. All suspect, in my view.
The only reason Comey's an issue is because firing him might have been maybe smoking. Obstruction of justice. Firing Mueller is absolutely obstruction of justice. I'm not saying it is obstruction of justice, but that's the issue.
But
Comey released the information. Comey leaked the information as the head of the FBI to his friend to get in the New York Times for the sole goal of creating a special counsel.
I dare the president. I hope he does.
Yep, on top of that.
I dare him.
That's right. And Mueller was hired before the Comey firing. And now the Comey's fired. It's a totally different special prosecution.
1-800-723-8289. The knives are out on both sides now. We want to get your reaction. No more agreement on fair elections. 1-800-723-8289 from coast to coast and border to border. Happy Father's Day. I'm Bruce Dumont.
Juice, Mom. Juice, juice, juice.
Mommy, why are we going to the store?
Your child will have different needs at different stages of life, and that includes the car seat. See, car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. And Chris, you were going to make, you want to make another point speaking in the support of Robert
Mueller.
Well,
I mean, Newt Gingrich wasn't airtight in his arguments. He was sort of skirting around a lot of issues. I think he just rhetorically overpowered the moderator.
Martha Raddatz.
He shut her down.
Showed her color. Well, good.
Here's the point. Comey's not the focus of the investigation. The administration is. Either Trump or his underlings, one. Two, the president has the absolute authority to have Mueller fired. He could do that. The president also has the authority to launch a nuclear weapon. what's the consequence?
He also had the right to fire Comey. His crime is that the evidence that the reason that was presented, which very few people believed by his attorney general and Rosenstein, which was out there, and even Pence agreed with that. I mean, he stepped on his own tongue when he did the interview with Lester Holt, which completely was a different reason why he fired him.
And that's why
he's in trouble now.
Who is that on?
All these problems come back to Donald Trump.
Thank you. His own worst enemy.
Absolutely. Right. I said that a couple of weeks ago on this program.
What's happening to the Republican agenda? Well, we've got the Congress, the courts, and the White House. What's happening? It's completely second fiddle to all this nonsense.
It's completely separate fiddle. Well,
They're advancing their agenda. McConnell is a genius, and he's pushing health care. He's, in my opinion, destroying 1/6 of the American economy, throwing 23 million people out on the street. Yes. They're moving that forward.
Well, which I don't know how all the healthcare stuff is going to turn out, but if it's good news to me if some parts or any parts of the agenda are moving forward, assuming that it's a good agenda. But going back to this question, this is what I think, and I could be wrong. I think Trump, from the very beginning, has been set up with this Russia stuff. The day that they woke up and said, "Holy crap, this guy just won." The entire deep state, and I think there is a deep state, and I think it encompasses more than just the Democratic Party. It encompasses a good chunk of a lot of the Republicans who want things to stay the way they are and to have the back and forth. The deep state went into its protection mode.
Cardiac arrest.
And they said, how do we stop this guy? And somewhere along the way, they came up with a way to do it. And here's the deal with Mueller. He may or may not get Trump. They might nail him for something. They might impeach him. But if I'm a Democrat, I don't want Trump impeached. I want Trump to swing in the wind pointlessly, worthlessly, fighting one thing after another for 4 years straight, and nothing good or as little good or as little Republican or as little GOP things happen as can. So there is a strategy to just hobble this guy.
I think that's a failed strategy. If I were a Democrat,
that's exactly what I'd be doing.
Okay, but that's a failed strategy. Because you're missing, you're becoming like you're in the center of flyover country, and you're sitting here in deep blue Illinois. And I'll tell you what, there's plenty of other people that still believe in Donald Trump and his agenda. And this actually, your scenario plays into his whole thing that there is this deep state, that there is a media collusion against him, that he doesn't get a fighting chance, that it is a witch hunt. I think it plays right into the hands of Donald Trump if they were to disrupt his agenda or somehow impeach him. I mean, that's not going to work.
Also, his lawyer who was on the Meet the Press today, he was very good, and he said over and over again, Donald Trump is not being investigated. James Comey said he's not being investigated on more than one occasion.
But now
Comey has acknowledged that. But it's Trump's own tweets that are saying, you know, this is a witch hunt. I'm being investigated by the guy who told me to fire him. I mean, it's all self-incriminating by Trump.
Oh, I mean, first, may I remind this panel that it was Trump's AG who recused himself from this entire process and his own deputy AG that appointed Mueller. So, these things aren't done lightly. So okay. I'm sure both Sessions and Rosenstein did what they had to do because they knew they had no other choice. One. Two, even if he's spotless on this, don't we as Americans have the right to know if someone did something illegal? Flynn, Jared Kushner.
Goodness.
That's the point of this investigation.
But you are kidding me.
Representative.
You are kidding me. What did
That's
we
the whole point.
I get it. Where was all this outrage when Loretta Lynch met with Bill Clinton on a plane? When you had Holder
in right
contempt
with you.
Of
you
Congress.
You may not have noticed.
Contempt
I was
of
right
Congress
with you.
For Fast yes. and Furious not revealing things.
Look.
I mean, one scandal after another from the Obama AG, and nothing happened. None of this outrage, none of these special prosecutors, none of these witch hunts for them. And I tell you what, people are – that's why Trump is here. Are you kidding me?
That's why I'm going to come back to the political fallout if he fired Mueller. The media is going to go ape you know what. The Democrats are going to go crazy. But is for Donald Trump's core supporter, including some Republicans that frankly maybe are a little scared to get too far away from Donald Trump, is he going to lose any political significant voting support if he were to fire Mueller for the reasons that Newt Gingrich gave today? Chapter and verse, Newt prosecuted Mueller today on television.
I think the American
don't you have to recuse yourself if you have a conflict of interest? Aren't you expected to do that on every vote that I take as a state rep?
Yes.
Aren't you expected to do that in Congress? Aren't you expected to reveal any conflicts that you have? Aren't you supposed to do that? And if Mueller is conflicted, which maybe he is,
which the Congress
and
says
I can't
not.
Tell,
the Congress says no,
and I don't know.
Already,
but
it,
if he is, then
that.
He has the personal responsibility to recuse himself, and that's what's going to hinge on.
See,
additionally,
we,
the
we,
expansion
we have already
of
litigated,
the investigation.
We have already
sure
litigated that.
Roberto,
we
have Roberto.
Him.
Go ahead.
We have totally litigated whether or not he should recuse himself. The Congress itself has decided that he does not have a conflict, and so he needs to proceed with his duties. The American people.
I don't know that. Why do you
the
say
Congress
that?
Does? Because the Congress already.
The Congress didn't vote on. So. The Congress didn't vote on this.
What did they vote on?
They
explain to us what it is.
The ethics council gave him the green light to proceed.
On what?
On the investigation, and not of Trump, by the way, of Russia.
But now it's become about Trump.
What about the potential conflicts of when one witness happens to be your best friend, and it's the FBI. You know, insular
not under
relationship culture.
If this were a judge
over
and a
and
jury,
again.
You would not allow that to go.
Comey's
forward.
Not the subject of this investigation.
The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while 1 in 5 children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
There can be no stable and enduring peace without the participation of the People's Republic of China and its 750 million people. That is why I have undertaken initiatives in several areas to open the door for more normal relations between our two countries.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
I would like to see some magic.
Dumont continues on Beyond the Beltway. Happy Father's Day, wherever you're listening, from coast to coast and border to border around the world. Roberto, during the break, we were talking about whether or not the Democrats really want to push for impeachment, and there was some disagreement as to whether or not, as Bruno suggested, no, they really want to just have Donald Trump twist in the wind, and they probably wouldn't have the votes. They wouldn't have the votes for impeachment anyway. So where do you? I mean, without impeachment, without all of these discussions, the Russian stuff, what is it that the Democrats are selling to the voters that are going to make them come roaring to the polls in 2018?
All right. So, what's going to happen is you have to separate political from policy, right? The hack from the wonk. Mm-hmm. The hack in me says he's good because the women's march, the march because it's war against science on the environment. We're going to beat him up on the emoluments, and he's going to help us. You'll see this happen. You'll see this play out on Tuesday in Georgia's sixth election. That race has had $40 million poured into it. So much energy is being produced by this administration on both sides. But mostly as a tactical matter and just as a political hack, it favors, taking back the House. 23 seats that are currently in Republican hands, Hillary won. And so those are probably going to go back the other way. Now, the thing about policy, though, is it was just last quarter that we were railing against the Muslim registry. And that's progress. But why did we even have that conversation? So, and then we don't have 67 votes in the Senate to actually make use of an impeachment. So it's almost like, why are you bothering with it?
Right.
It's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the Democrats win, next year,
I
don't think you're going to get instant impeachment. I think because he's such the perfect lightning rod, you're going to have intensified investigations, new investigations. They're going to want to string this out to 2020. Maybe then you'll have impeachment proceedings. It moved pretty quickly with Clinton, and I wouldn't be surprised if Democrats jumped off that pier.
Bruno.
I'm still reasonably certain that the Democrats benefit more from having Trump around to kick around with story after story, leak after leak. Slate magazine just had this big article saying Mueller is coming after Trump, and boy does he have stuff to go after him. And you're gonna get investigations into Trump's business dealings prior to the election, none of which incidentally might lead to anything impeachable, but it's going to create story after story after story. And this, I think, has actually Republicans spooked. This is one of the reasons why the Republican Congress, with the exception of the health care deal and one or two other things here and there, they've been AWOL because they're afraid to associate themselves with Trump. They don't know what to do.
Jeannie.
I think you guys are all missing the boat. I think the American people elected Trump because they liked him standing up to the establishment, and that the more people come after him and the more they do investigation after investigation, let him twist in the wind as he's the president and don't let him fully enact his agenda, the more he's got a bully pulpit the next time, the more there may be even return more people into the Senate for him.
If he survives those investigations, Representative.
What agenda? Wealthcare?
I believe.
Let him
no, I honestly think that you guys are misreading the average person who just really, they want a job. They want their kids educated well. Yeah. They don't want these, you know, unionized schools, bureaucrats that are failing their kids. And I think that he's, when he starts to get moving on his agenda and gets things done, it's going to be better.
As these investigations, Mueller's investigation, and as all the investigations keep moving forward, and again, Mueller is hiring people to go into all backgrounds, including looking at Kushner and business deals and everything else. And clearly, any one of them could be a series of stories that will dominate news for weeks at a time. So I guess if I'm Trump and I'm looking at that, I'm looking at the outrage that that will bring. It's the it will be outrage that will be brought to people who the national news media will be outraged. Democrats will be outraged with all of these stories as they unfold, you know, as they unwind. I would say if I'm the president, you know what? If I fired Mueller, the same people are going to be upset. They will be upset, and the story will be, did I do it, and why should I have not have done it? It will divert attention from any of the details that might be coming out in any of these investigations, because it's going to be about...
If Mueller's investigation becomes a criminal investigation, which it's not supposed to be, then that takes a different twist and a turn. If you're accusing the president of criminality, that's a different thing, and we'd have to have that discussion then. But there were so many were criminal acts by Hillary Clinton, including the Secret Server and all the other stuff.
How did the Whitewater investigation begin, and how did it end?
Exactly. I was about to bring that exact same thing up. And this is, incidentally, one of the problems with the special prosecutor law, and it's a reason why it should either not exist or it has to be curtailed, because you have to put a box around investigations, or if you don't, people calling it a witch hunt. I would say that the special prosecutor law is a witch hunt by definition. It is a search for witches.
Well, there is no law.
And they're going.
There is no special prosecutor law.
It
expired.
There's processes in place, and if that's the case, then Rosenstein has a job to put a box around it, or say you have to look at all these things. But there's no control now, so you've got this guy who could essentially do anything he wants for as long as he wants, anytime, and there's absolutely nothing.
Unlimited
Trump could
budget.
Do.
That's right.
And so if that by definition
is. But the answer is to Rosenstein. Rosenstein can fire him. He has those checks, and that check is the deputy AG.
Okay, so where can somebody go? We don't even like Donald Trump. I'd rather have President Pence anyway. So this is not a defense of Trump in any way, shape, or form. But where can Donald Trump go to say, where is the limits to this investigation? By when do they have to have something? How long do I have before I can actually pass things or do things without having to answer this stuff?
This isn't stopping him from doing his job. I mean, there's 1,000 other things you can work on. Honestly, I'd rather talk about healthcare. I trust the FBI will do their job. I totally do. Maybe we don't disagree on that. I'm sure it's not a perfect organization, but at this point, with all this media attention, they're going to do their job to the best of their ability with the best in business. However, we have real policy.
Like they did under Comey?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, obviously, he was the director of the FBI, and he certainly, I would say, didn't do give his best in effort under the Hillary Clinton investigation, and then he was told to call the investigation a matter and not an investigation Hillary. Let's talk about a politicized
FBI. He didn't do that, right?
Oh, but he didn't. But what was fascinating?
He maintained his integrity.
What was fascinating about that little piece of information was, if Donald Trump is guilty of obstruction of justice for saying, "Hey, can't you just give this guy a break? He's a good guy." If that's obstruction of justice, then why isn't not Powers? What's her name? Loretta Lynch. Why isn't Loretta Lynch going to Comey and saying, "Can't you call this thing like a matter instead of an investigation?" I mean, if one is obstruction, the other is obstruction.
How do they differ? That's a very good point. Can you just address that point, Roberto? Mm-hmm. What's the difference in those two conversations? They both had the same goal. They wanted Comey to sort of, you know, relax, look the other way. He was being asked to do that by a superior.
The consistency is that he didn't.
One is obstruction of justice, and the other is not.
He didn't look the other way, right?
In what respects?
Well, here's the difference. He leaked. Under the
No. The answer is
he leaked information to the press under one situation, and he didn't under the other.
The Constitution throughout every single time.
We got to pause.
He did his job.
We got callers on the line. He did his job. Where do you come down on Robert Mueller? You like him or not?
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school. Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We are back, and we've just acknowledged that that people who are out there in radio and television land, that they really don't care about this investigation. All they care about is the politics that affects their lives. And we are all, as I said many months ago, the exact same relationship took place back in 1972. It was only the Inside the Beltway reporters that kept pushing the Richard Nixon Watergate story. And again, the rest of the public wasn't really cared much about it. But again, the investigations kept happening. And again, the media and those primarily in the Republican Party. And that's really annoying. It was Republicans that really showed their integrity when they began to challenge some of the things that Richard Nixon has done. Mike, let's go to you in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, listening to us on WRNN. Nice to hear from the Palmetto State.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hey, the investigation, what a huge, colossal failure this whole thing is. This guy, James Comey, leaks to the press a memo that nobody's seen to get a special prosecutor to look into Donald Trump. James Comey becomes a witness in his own investigation.
Right.
Not only that, Mueller hired five lawyers who are all Democrats. One of them was hired by the Clinton Foundation to defend her in a freedom of information requests,
right?
Who have all donated to the Democrat Party. So how is it not a conflict of interest?
And two of the others were guilty of not releasing or sharing exculpatory information on a couple of key cases, the Arthur Anderson case and the Enron case. So they were involved in doing some questionable legal ethics. That's part of their personal resume.
Yeah.
But these are the people. These are the people, however, that are being hailed by many in the media as this, you know, blue chip group of people that everybody can trust. And
blue being the operant phrase.
Yes,
there.
Right.
I mean, the caller's correct.
Put in jail. He's famous for.
What was that?
Do you know who James Comey put in jail that he's famous for?
I'm sure you're going to tell us.
Enron.
Martha Stewart.
Oh yeah.
Wasn't that a witch hunt?
Well, it wasn't as big of a political issue as but Martha Stewart got herself in trouble there. Look, here's the deal. What you're describing is absolutely accurate, but this is what they get to do. And I've said this once already today, but there is a deep state. There is an establishment, and it is encrusted into both parties, and it is you don't bet against it easily. Maybe you're surprised that Trump won, but the fact is that they have their processes in place. They are going to find a way, if not to get him, at least to stop him or slow him down.
Jeannie, and then Chris.
Well, I mean, I think the caller brings up good stuff. This is what I'm talking about. So we got outside of our little table here, and we're hearing a caller from South Carolina who's saying what the preponderance of other people are saying that aren't a coastal elite or embedded deeply into the political mechanisms of, you know, campaigns and everything else.
Chris.
And this is real.
There's two separate issues here. One is the apparent legitimacy or illegitimacy of Mueller and team. Okay. And I think that if there's enough pressure applied, that could air itself out. So that's one issue. The other is, should there be an investigation? Is there enough smoke to warrant and justify an investigation? And I say 100% yes, we need to get to the bottom of this. We need to follow the facts.
Could not agree with you more.
Okay.
All aspects, including what I talked about earlier in the broadcast.
Can I remind the people here that there were three special counsels under Clinton? It wasn't – Ken Starr didn't begin it, and he didn't end it. So, I mean, it's not unheard of that we could get a replacement, that Mueller will ball out.
I just – what concerns me is when we talk about credibility, to me, I said this from the moment that we began discussing Mueller a couple of weeks ago, and that is the close relationship between he and Comey. Now, you say he's not a target. The question is, he is a witness. He's now a witness in this. He is suspect because of his friendship. He should recuse himself from this investigation. If he had the integrity that everyone says he has, he should recuse himself and he should step down. Because they're already, I mean, even though there's a huge number of lawyers to be hired, the first four that have been announced, which Newt Gingrich went after and came chapter and verse today, they do raise questions about the independence of the Mueller investigation. And I just think that it looks, you know, the fact that we're dealing with, you know, the FBI culture, which is a culture also that has thrived because of leaks. I mean, leaking in the FBI, that's, you know, that's part of their MO. That's part of their collective cultural history. And we shouldn't ignore it when a former head of the FBI is now, as one of his witnesses, is another former head of the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
I think it doesn't. There have to be other people of integrity that can operate
absolutely
without having that taint. I think there's a taint. I'd like to find someone that doesn't know James Comey, that doesn't know Donald Trump. That's who I would. There has to be someone who has the integrity to do the job. I do believe. I think there should be a proctoscopic investigation as to what happened. I just don't think that Robert Mueller has the credibility to do it.
Why do you think that? Because of a Breitbart article?
He just spent a bunch of time telling you.
I just made the point.
Exactly.
They are friends with each other. They used to work.
What do you mean by friends? They work together. They were professional colleagues
at
the highest levels of government.
They are personal friends. They're professional friends. And the point is that one person, the head of the FBI, acknowledged under oath that he took information, he gave it to a friend to release to the news media for the purpose of getting a special counsel hired. He did that. Now, again, does that mean let's look at the leader? This guy was the, you know, he had just been released as the leader of the FBI. What does it say to every FBI agent? If James Comey can pick up a phone and take a document and pass it to a friend to get it to the news media, why can't every FBI agent do that?
That's right.
Why can't every single one of them do it?
I think the culture of the FBI is mostly middle-aged white guys that like the law. It's not a bunch of leakers. And they're going to do their job.
That's not what we've seen recently.
I'm not so sure that's
accurate. There's 10,000 investigations going on right now.
I'm not so sure that's accurate. I'm personal friends with
FBI agents. I think you're a little bit credulous on how wonderful the FBI is. I'm glad they do what they do. I'm glad that we get prosecutions of bad people. But these, you know, I keep going back and forth with all of my progressive friends. You've got the EPA leaking and blowing up dams or places and ending up polluting rivers. You've got the IRS engaging in targeting conservatives. You've got all of these different things going on. And we're told by progressives that we all have to rely on more and more on government. And every day we turn around with the VA and everything else, we find out that government is more and more less competent and slightly corrupt than we'd like to believe. And yet we're all supposed to trust them when it comes to going after Donald Trump.
And this is why we've got the politicization, which brings us into the shooting this week of extreme views, right, and extreme because government is invasive in everybody's lives and people are just, they don't know what to do now.
Right.
This is the
Let's
reaction.
Go to Riley listening to us in Austin, Texas on KLBJ. Go ahead.
Hey, if I were Trump, I'd like a businessman. I'd say, look, I'm looking up really get to the bottom of this investigation. But here's the thing, you got investigation, that Senate, House, now we have a special prosecutor. These things have been going on forever. And I would say, look, we're not gonna have this drag on for 3.5 years. I'm gonna give you 2 months to bring something, or I will fire you.
You know, we got a real bad line here. The essence of what you said is that there needs to be a time frame. I disagree with that.
I absolutely disagree with it. And, you know, to me, it just sounds like pointless whining that we heard from Democrats in the 90s with the Clinton investigation. You got to follow the facts wherever they lead you, period. And if it was good for Clinton in the 90s, it's good for Trump in the 2017.
Right. But also part of what was going on there is the supporters of the Clintons at that point, part of what they did is they besmirched the reputation of Ken Starr.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that is going on now.
I
happen to believe that there's a little more evidence from the get-go that it may stick with Robert Mueller.
Well, and again, because it's Robert Mueller, I mean, this goes back to the partisanship that has developed, that nobody trusts the other side.
Yeah,
we literally see – we only see the – I mean, there's people in the middle who aren't that ideologically bound by all of this stuff, and they make their decisions and they vote too. But the fact of the matter is the partisans in this world – only see the side they want to see.
Right.
They know that Obama weaponized the IRS, and they know that Obama did this and that and the other thing and that there was a policy late in the administration to unmask all these people, and they know that Trump walks on water and did nothing wrong.
If you don't have credibility at the beginning of an investigation, you're not going to have credibility when the results of that investigation are made forward or move forward. And again, one good example, very historic example of that, is Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles was fired by John F. Kennedy for screwing up the Bay of Pigs. And when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, guess who got appointed to the Warren Commission to investigate the assassination of the guy that fired him? Alan Dulles. And a few other people that were thrown into that investigation. If you look at their backgrounds, no wonder 60 years later, nobody believes the Warren Commission report. The initial investigators had no credibility.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. We continue. One of the other big stories of last week was the shooting at the baseball practice. Congressman Scalise is still in critical condition, and also a staffer was shot as well. And thanks to the quick action of the Capitol Police, a general massacre, I think, has been or was presented or prevented, rather. Republicans and Democrats, House leadership, they've gotten a lot of press, positive press, in recent days because they're trying to tamp down the rhetoric. How realistic is it that the rhetoric in this country and the vitriol that's going all ways can be subsided, Roberto?
So, first of all, this is the first time that the president's done something, in my opinion, that was presidential, and hats off to him on that incident and how he treated it. Also, thoughts and prayers to the majority whip, Scalise, and to the staffers, and, of course, gratitude to the fine members of Capitol Police that were there. Had they not been there, this madman would have had his way with all of our leadership. As for the rhetoric being toned down, I think we are in trouble if we focus on the motive, although I do think it was lifted up by the rhetoric. I think the issue is mental health and easy access to guns by people that shouldn't have guns. Like, if you have a domestic violence background, I know because I've heard from my colleague here at the table that there are mechanisms there where you shouldn't have hands on your gun. And so I think the problem that we're not going to hear from our friends in the RA is going to be gun control, and followed by mental health. And in my book, as a Democrat, we can talk about the motive, and I'm happy to talk to that.
Here's a guy who was a Bernie Sanders supporter.
A normal guy.
Who was writing letters to the editor. I mean, you're not saying that somebody can't write letters to the editor. I mean,
there's no mental illness accusation
in this case,
this guy.
No.
At all.
He was a normal guy until he wasn't a normal guy, because but then if you and look, I put up a post a few days ago about Trump having run a very pugnacious and aggressive, rhetorically aggressive campaign.
Punch him in the face.
And
his campaign
and all this kind of stuff. It's like you can't just – and I keep on trying to tell my friends on the right, you can't just have it your way. Yeah. You can't just sit there and say, my side smells like roses and has done nothing wrong, but those evil Democrats are just nasty. The fact of the matter is that both sides – we've had Clinton derangement syndrome. We've had Bush derangement syndrome. And now we have what I would consider a Trump derangement syndrome, which is a reaction. And we're talking about reactionaries here. It is a reaction to a guy who ran a very, very aggressive,
well, wait
different
a minute.
Campaign.
In this particular case, the guy was a Bernie Sanders supporter. Violence that's been going on in this country after the election and even during the campaign was from the left.
Yes.
Not true.
Not
from
the
left.
It's
the left.
Down
almost exclusively.
There was
almost
a shooting. There was a shooting that same day by a UPS employee. That same day, he went into his workplace and he shot him up. That had nothing to do with politics.
That's right.
But that's not the issue.
The political violence has happened on the left. You can talk about the Charles Murray, the Milo Yiannopoulos, the everything that's happening on college campuses. That
the
is
UIC
from the left.
Pavilion Orlando. Rally that was that shut is, down in Chicago.
That's right.
Was a left-inspired violence
by a guy who's been on, by a guy who's been on this show.
Yes.
Wait a minute. What's the root cause?
Never again.
We're not talking about the real root cause here. And what is that? It's because we don't have a lot of shared values anymore. We don't have a shared military experience anymore. In this country, we don't have a shared
mission.
Bring
back the draft.
And government is more and more intrusive on people's lives. They're taking more of the tax money. Yeah. They're putting in more of the regulations. They're telling you who you have to bake a cake for, who you can't. They're telling you everything possible about how you have to run your life. And that's coming from the government on high. That's why we have the
But here's my other
problems.
Point. On a more personal level, here's what the other thing is that once upon a time, you could disagree with someone of a different political persuasion. Now it seems to me that everything is personal.
Yeah.
100%. And then each
it's
side
all motives
is
and intentions.
Able to utilize so that if you disagree with somebody, it's because you should be hated. You should be vilified.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody's got to be turned into a monster, and especially the internet and tweeting, but primarily the internet. it's easy to get riled up and say outrageous things on your Facebook post.
I'll tell you what, I'm the elected official here, and I guarantee you when we talk about issues, it's that you are you're a racist. You don't like poor people. When you want to talk about, you know, reining in some of the expenses where able-bodied people should actually have to do work in order to receive benefits. I mean, we're talking about all sorts of stuff. And before you know it, the name-calling, in my opinion, comes from the left.
Look, Chris. Look. From one standpoint, everything that we're talking about is very complicated. From another, it's quite simple. And you know, number one, when something like this happens, I think we've got to be extremely aggressive to say that this is asocial behavior that one person did.
That's true.
And we need to be aggressive about saying this is not how we behave in this country, number one. But number two, I have to disagree, Representative, because, you know, quite honestly, both sides' hands are very dirty here. The left traffics in moral condensation. That's their weapon. And the right is moral righteousness. And we're at an impasse, and this becomes a game of inches, trench warfare, and that's not how you want to live in this country. It's not how you want to govern. Both sides have got to police their own sides. The left's got to police the left. That's the only way we're going to get progress.
Bruno,
I've been asking people to do that. I do what I can, and I get a lot of heat for it. As a matter of fact, I just got a text from somebody who says that I can't understand how I could be sitting next to you and I'm being mean and I'm all this other stuff. So, and this is a Republican saying that I'm not being Republican enough while we're sitting here on the air. And what I tell all of them is like, yes, now I spend a lot of time policing the left when it comes to this free speech stuff and the mm-hmm. stuff they're doing on campus.
Campuses.
I don't go a day without posting on the kind of nonsense that they're pulling. And you simply should lose your student aid, and universities should lose all federal funding if they don't defend free speech. So there are things that are happening. And I think right now you're starting to see the left act in ways that we've seen a little bit of it in the past, and we've seen both sides engage in some of this stuff. But when you have the media engaging in promoting snuff films and severed heads, and thankfully many on the left said, okay, that's just uncalled for. But you are starting to see actions being taken that both sides have to go to their own side and say, you guys got to stop.
Yes, both sides are guilty.
But it's not happening on the left side. It's not.
When Representative Giffords was shot, I think everybody kind of had a pause. This is a good time to take another pause. And what's happened since then? Orlando, a year ago, that was not a left-motivated thing. The Fort Hood massacres twice, right, under President Obama's administration. We've had massacre after massacre. We have a massacre.
Those
every
were
week.
Terrorist-inspired
but
massacres.
We have a massacre every
those
week.
Those were terrorist-inspired
That's my
massacres.
Point. It's
That's
not
the
about
point.
The point of view. It's about the weapon. We have we have a weekly massacre in America.
You are sitting in Illinois, which has the most restrictive gun laws. Okay, and you're in Chicago, which has the most restrictive gun laws in the state of Illinois, that has the most restrictive
and
gun laws.
All the guns
and you are the murder capital of
because the, guns of are the, pouring in from Indiana. US. Red state, yeah. Kentucky, yeah,
but,
you know, yeah, red
but,
state.
But that, Roberto, that's yeah. far afield. But that's
this,
far afield.
This is not about gun control.
It's not about the motive of the madman.
It absolutely actually, is about the motive of the madman.
Wait a minute. Was this guy a madman?
He was certainly unhinged.
Was he a madman? His actions
make him a madman, even if he wasn't. Madman in quotes, even if he wasn't mentally deranged.
Right. But the point is, had this attack been perpetrated by someone right of center, his background and his association with anyone
100%.
Right would have been blasted all over the news media.
Well, the New York Times did it. Because the New York Times did it in their editorial.
And Sarah Palin was guilty for Giffords shooting because she put a target over a
congressional
seat. But
that's not the way. It's handled now.
You're saying that's nonsense.
That's not been the way it's been handled now.
That's right.
It isn't a big. And by the way, Bernie Sanders came out, I thought, with a very strong denunciation
that's right.
On the floor of the
Senate. Of course.
Could be congratulated. It was terrific. But again, all the news stories have not been about some of the political things that he was saying that are from a left perspective.
There's no doubt this was politically motivated, and they should have
out. We cannot conflate nonviolence political action with Ted Nugent-level rhetoric like Obama should suck up my machine gun.
He called for civility.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He came out.
That's all humor, conservative, right?
So you have to make sure that the political action, we can continue with that. This shooting of anyone on a weekly basis, after Newton, we lost.
Could you be specific? What are you talking about?
Mo Brooks, the congressman who was there from Alabama, made a really good point. And this is like minutes after the incident. Yeah. He said, you know, whenever someone says something hurtful, no one calls for restricting free speech. Or whenever there's a search and seizure, no one ever calls for restricting the Fourth Amendment. Why is this all like the confines of the Second Amendment when something happens? So I think that's a very good
because
point.
Because we have 26 times the shootings of any other country in the world.
As a conservative Republican,
5 seconds.
It's ridiculous.
Folks,
we'll save it.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Why are we going to the store? Mom, I want juice.
Your child will have different needs at different stages of life, and that includes the car seat. See, car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back with our last segment of the broadcast. Let's go to Roger listening to us on KLBJ in Austin, Texas, one of our great affiliates. Go ahead, Roger.
Good evening, Bruce. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
You are my go-to guy since John McLaughlin passed away.
Wow.
Thank
you.
Big shoes.
Well, what we try to do, we try to be, you know, we were fair and balanced long before it became a slogan. By the way, next week will be it'll be our 37th anniversary of being on the air. So the spirited discussions we have here, sometimes they do get border on violence, but nothing, no gunshots have broken out on the discussion. But again, I thank you for your call and your comments.
Well, I think you're spot on when you talk about they want to let Trump twist in the wind. It's ironic that the people that support that movement are the ones that completely and constantly complained about obstructionism against Obama's, term in office, and now they're going to adopt those same tactics. And, you know, your guest there that says this stuff's not coming from the left, I have to disagree. You know, I read The Hill, Politico, a lot of sites. I track back commenters and look at their Facebook. And this guy McLaughlin, he's not unique. There is a hyper dialogue going on out there: treason, impeachment, indictment, criminal this, criminal that. And you know, the left is pushing this narrative. You've got people like Schiff out there saying almost 3 months ago, he said, "I have proof beyond circumstantial that Trump is colluded with the Russians." He has yet to produce this,
and.
You know, you've got Hillary out there. I'm leading the resistance. You had this group Indivisible. They're setting up all over the place. This is a full court press to demonize and discredit Trump and keep his agenda from moving.
Can I ask him a question?
Chris Varonis is shaking his head.
I don't deny for a minute that the left is very well versed in Saul Alinsky activism and all that drivel. It's true. I mean, the left really traffics in what he's talking about, the antagonism, the social pressure. But you know, let's be honest. Donald Trump, just a year ago, punch him in the face, carry him out in the stretcher. This judge, he's a Mexican. He can't do his job well. Let's go back in time. Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma bombing. You can't just say that this problem is confined to one side of the political spectrum. That's the problem here. That's the problem. And it dials up the temperature. And I say again, both the right and the left have got to police their own sides.
But that's not what Bill Clinton did in the wake of Oklahoma City. He blamed conservative talk radio.
He was wrong.
But everybody thought, oh, that's the way to do it, because at that particular time, conservative talk radio was a very effective political weapon. It was being used by Republicans effectively. And the Democrats and those in the media want to destroy anything that looks like it's supportive of Republican or conservative causes. That they're doing it now,
yeah.
And they've done it before. The only thing is, there was an election last year, and they got their lunch handed to them.
Yeah, that point about Trump saying these things, that is bogus, because you know what? Two wrongs don't make a right. That doesn't excuse all of this stuff that's going on and all of this resistance and all of this dialogue that's being put out there by all of these people on the left.
You're going easy on our side.
Roberto.
I have a question, if I may, Roger. Could you help me understand your view on the long guns that were pointed at the Bureau of Land Management officials? And maybe a little bit on the militia movement, because I think the history of violence is a little bit more on the right. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, I get my information from all the ones that you do, maybe a couple extra. But what's your opinion on the long guns and the Bureau of Land Management?
My opinion of the long... I don't have an opinion. I don't
Bundys?
Know enough about
the
it.
Bundy, the Bundy incident?
I know who Bundy is, but I don't know enough about the particulars to say that I take a position
fair enough.
Way or the other.
If I may, Raj, all I was trying to get to was we have a history of people taking over federal land and pointing rifles at federal agents and saying, you know what, we're going to answer to the sheriff. We don't care what you say in D.C.
Yeah, history doesn't matter at this point. It's what we do today and what we do going forward. And, you know, we can talk about history, but what's going on right now is a full court press by the media very much, and by a lot of hardcore left-supporting people. It's all over the Internet, and it's manifested in folks like Mr. McLaughlin, who you cannot deny he is, like, totally on that end of the spectrum.
So, by the way, the role of the Internet and the specific way that they can literally preach to the people that just believe with them, they have a much greater opportunity to raise the temperature and jack people up than mass media does.
And a lot of that has to do with self-selection. We have reached, and you've got this going on with redistricting. You've got this going on everywhere where everybody is retreating to their own little intellectual enclaves, whether it's physical and in redistricting, or whether it's electronic on the internet, and
everybody
goes out there and seeks only the information that backs them up, and you've seen this happen for a long time. What I do see happening now, and I think it's a pendulum swinging, and I think that you can police your own side is number one, but number two, you are starting to see that the vitriol, the greater it gets, whichever side is doing it, it gives the marginal people permission to act out. And we are reaching the point where the marginal people, I mean, if you look at what they did to free speech on campus, and then the next time something goes on campus, you get the bikers and the Hell's Angels coming out to fight the Antifa. And now you're getting, these are happening everywhere. And the marginal are coming out because they've been given permission to be aggressive and violent.
But last comment.
Last second, 10
okay.
seconds.
Well, here's the deal, though. That's why the rule of law is so important, and it must be dispelled equally among all groups. The rule of law is the answer here in all cases.
Our thanks to our all-star guests this evening. Again, thank you for joining us on Father's Day 2017. Our thanks to Sam Greenberg and Dan Dorfman and Fritz Goldman for the assistance in the production of this program. Happy Father's Day. I'm Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago. The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
There can be no stable and enduring peace without the participation of the People's Republic of China and its 750 million people. That is why I have undertaken initiatives in several areas to open the door for more normal relations between our two countries.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.